You may be seated. In the last, besides last Sunday, in the last 6 or so weeks, we did a sermon series called Kingdom Bound. And it's about the fact that the kingdom of God is the goal that we are set out on. The church is not here to build buildings, sing songs, and go home. The church is actually built so that we bring folks in, change their lives through Jesus Christ, and send them out. It's kind of like the instructions on shampoo, which says, lather, rinse, repeat. I don't have to do that anymore. But in the church, that has to be part of our ongoing plan. And if we just stop saying it, if we forget for one generation that kingdom is our purpose, then all of a sudden, for the rest of the experience, the church stops being outward focused, because it's much easier to sit, sing, pray, and go home. It's not what Jesus asked us to do. So we are taking that kingdom bound mentality, and we're starting a new sermon series called Seeing the Face of God, Unconditional Love and Amazing Grace. I believe that you can see God in the world every day in moments of unconditional love and grace. And if you don't know that you can see God in unconditional love and amazing grace, you probably don't see God in the world very often. But if you do, God sneaks in to some of the most amazing little moments where we are able to see God's face. This morning, our scripture comes from Matthew 25. It's a fabulous piece of scripture. We've probably heard it lots and lots, and we've probably figured out ways to weasel around it just a little. Well, the big church has figured a way around it just a little. And so we call attention to that weaseling a little bit, and I will do that. It follows another parable about the parable of the talents. Do you know which one I mean? One person's given this much, another person's given this much, another person's given this much. The one who gets a lot does a lot more. But the person who gets the least seems to, bury it and not use it at all, and returns just what they were gifted with. So I want you to hear this passage with those verses still ringing in your ear. God gives us gifts, resources, talents, skills, and says, okay, do something. Listen, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep on his right hand, the place of honor, and the goats at the left. Then the king will say to you, to those at his right hand, come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and y'all gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and y'all welcomed me. I was naked, and y'all gave me clothing. I was sick, and yes, it's not singular. This is not about our individual lives. This is about our corporate life. I was sick, and you all took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me. then the righteous, those folks who are doing the right things and living the right life and in the right relationship with God, will answer him, Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? When was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you? And the king will answer them, truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me. Then he will say to those on his left hand, you that are accursed, depart from me into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger and you did not welcome me. Naked and you did not give me clothing. Sick and in prison and you did not visit me. Then they too will answer, Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not take care of you? Then he will answer them, truly I tell you, just as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. Oftentimes, in religious circles, this becomes a debate about whether God's going to choose between good and bad, whether there's a judgment day, whether hell exists, all of those kind of things. And we talk about everything except the point Jesus was trying to make. Don't be distracted. The group that Jesus is talking to at this time is probably filled with followers and enemies. And the enemies and the followers are all Jewish. He's not saying, and the pagans, who are the goats. He's not saying Gentiles, not saying anything else about folks outside the flock. It's the flock that comes. He is speaking to us. You see, the Pharisees had gotten to the point where all they cared about was being absolutely righteous. So they would attend, sit, feel good, maybe judge a little bit, but do nothing. Part of the reason Christianity flipped some of the Jewish rules on their head is because you could sit and do nothing and be perceived as doing right because you didn't do something wrong. The Jewish golden rule was, don't do unto others what you don't want done to you. Well, if I do nothing, at least I didn't do unto others what they didn't want, so I'm good. Jesus messes it up for all of us. Says, do unto others what you want done to you. So Jesus gives us these lovely, encouraging words about addressing hunger and thirst, about addressing strangers, those who are down and those who are sick, those who are imprisoned. The fact is that Jesus also fed folks. Let's see, what was that story? Jesus fed how many? A lot! And it was 5,000 guys and their women and children. Lots! And when the disciples, that would be us, came to Jesus and said, can we send them away for a little bit? It's about dinner time and they're getting restless. Jesus looked them dead in the face and Jesus said, you do it. And what happened when they did it? It was extra. 12 of something and 7 of something else. I wonder if those numbers mean something. Jesus fed and told his disciples, do it. Jesus gave water. Jesus welcomed all, no matter what, even violating the Jewish law. Went into towns he was not allowed to go. Talked to people he should not have talked to. Cared for the sick, offering healing. I don't know of any stories about Jesus going to the prison or giving away clothes. Jesus didn't have a lot of clothes, so we probably would have heard about those stories. They'd have gotten exciting. You see, we are called in the church to start out as followers, disciples. And once we have learned enough, they spent about 3 years with Jesus, they were sent out. So all disciples turned into apostles. All Christ followers, all disciples are brought in for a purpose of being sent out. Hence, the church has left the building. We must leave the building. The church is not the church unless it is in the world working. Granted, there is different work for each and every one of us, but unless we go out individually, families, and corporately, we are not the church. And you don't have to be the Pope to make a difference. What a fabulous week. We got to hear stories that feel so different. But I also read this week about an employee in Chicago who makes minimum wage, works at a fast food restaurant, has arches. And in the rush hour in Chicago, this employee had somebody come up and say, "Help me." And so this employee left and closed his register, walked out of from behind the counter, and sat down next to a paraplegic man and veteran and fed him during rush hour. That was God's face. You don't have to be the Pope. You just have to have a heart that's aligned with God's heart. I love the fact that in this story, Jesus says, when you do it to, or don't do it, to these folks who you have, I mean, the Pharisees had said, these folks are valueless. They don't matter. And Jesus says, the don't matter folks, that's me. Later on, we hear the story of the Apostle Paul, when he's still called Saul. He's on the road to Damascus. He's got a letter in his hand that means he can kill Christians. He's got permission from Jerusalem to kill followers of Christ. And he is struck down on the road. He is going to kill Christians. And God says to him, Jesus says to him, "Why are you persecuting me? Not my followers." You see, we Christ followers are actually God in the flesh today. God says, "You are my body. You are the ones who make my love real." We have a responsibility that's higher than I don't make for a meaningful life if I do things in service. We Christ followers actually have a responsibility to make sure God's face shows up in the world. The Pope talked about immigration on the list. We're talking about homelessness and safe harbor on the list. Climate change, renewables, water and wells and waste of water in all kinds of places. I don't know whether I told this congregation or the next or the 11 o'clock service about an individual. Did I tell you about the preacher I visited in town? He had gone to Haiti as a clergy person a number of times, and one of the things that they did was they also took medical doctors with them, and they would come and on an annual basis and treat folks in town. Well, it turns out one time they went down, I don't know whether they were painting a building or providing food or doing something, but a couple of the folks who could realized that the particular town had no well, and so they were collecting water in the same place that they were cleaning stuff. And so they decided, then and there, that a few of them would pay for a well in that city. And they built a well. And then, next year, when the doctor came, said that village was the only one who had no one show up that was sick. Wow. I guess just drilling a well can make a difference. Yes, clean water makes a difference. This week, we have heard in the news about folks wanting to shut down the government so that they can defund health care for poor women. And at the same time in the news, we've heard about a drug company that wanted to raise the cost of an AIDS drug from $13.50 to $750. Where do you think Jesus is going to be aligned on this one? Care for the poor. I was sick, you cared for me. Whoever can't. We are called into ministry in lots of different places, and all of us have our own different callings. Maybe it's into helping with mental illness or addiction without passing judgment. I am so delighted that we do that. So this morning I wanted to demonstrate the fact that we live differently than a Sunday morning life. We don't just, this is not our kingdom outfit. I have a t-shirt. I couldn't find it. I was going to bring it and wear it instead. I have a t-shirt that's from a computer company, computer book company. It said, Born to be Used. The book company did books like using Windows and that kind of thing. So the phrase was using that they were trying to take advantage of. But for me, the issue of being born to be used fits so much like Jesus. So clearly a t-shirt, and I have a t-shirt. Da, 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 da. This is the t-shirt. When I have to go do work right now in the lawn or out, I put on my confirmation retreat shirt. You can tell it's got different color paints on it. Sometimes, because they make me wear hats when I go outside now, 50 and I was born in Florida, I wasn't born in Florida, but I've spent most of my, so hats are a big thing. So I have a variety of hats that the doctor makes me wear. If I'm doing work outside, this is my worst pair of jeans. It's got different colors of paint, a little bit of tarry, asphalty. I've worn out the knees. Turns out this pair of jeans used to be my dad's too, because I have a little more here because I'm blessed with too much food. I brought some other things you could wear if you were doing kingdom work. Because my knees kill me. Whoops. Some of you know what I'm doing. Let's see what else. If I have to, I carry around something for sweat, but I have gloves of different kinds. I have latex gloves because sometimes when I'm doing kingdom work, I am feeding folks. Sometimes I'm cleaning. I have work gloves too, but I think that these are the ones I should wear, don't you? I thought about putting on the latex gloves, but you know how hard they are to get on. I didn't think I had the time. Put one finger in each hole. Some kingdom work has to be done in the kitchen because feeding folks is an important part of what we do. Is this a nice visual for you yet? I want you to get that the clothes we wear to church on Sunday is not the clothes that God is asking us to put on and do something about. Have you ever tried to tie an apron with big rubber gloves on? Sometimes I wear my hat that says United Methodist Children's Home so that I do dual duty and I do a little advertising at the same time. But to be quite honest, my favorite thing is when I was feeding folks in the homeless place in Tallahassee was the hairnet. And they made me wear one on my beard. I do not wear good shoes. I always put on my worst pair of tennis shoes. Because if I'm going up and down a ladder, I don't want to fall down. You guys are laughing at me. I told you this would be a good one for a video. Ugh, my knees don't work like that anymore. Ugh, sorry. Seriously. you ask me to touch my toes, I can. Maybe it is we've got to put on our safety glasses. Somebody got a camera? Who's got a camera? And so we offer water to folks who are thirsty, not just in town, but we dig wells in countries where people don't have access to clean water. And Jesus says, that's for me. We put on crazy outfits, but it's not church-going clothes. The church has got to leave the building. I don't think I have anything else in here. It's a good thing, huh? So we feed the animals, and St. Francis would be happy. And we care about the environment, and St. Francis would be happy. And we realize that it all works together for God's glory. I'm exhausted. So here's the deal. Love requires actual action. Love requires a direct object, or it's not actually love. It's a conversation about something. It's not just a feeling. It can't be purely intellectual or purely emotional. That doesn't work very long in any relationship. When you want to see God's face, you got to put on your kingdom clothes and get out to work. Doing these things, feeding the hungry, clothing those who don't have clothes, caring for those who are in prison, who are sick. Doing these things, this is love. This is unconditional love. Doing it is its own reward. Doing these things is unconditional love made flesh. Unconditional, incarnate love. Let us pray. Oh, Holy Spirit, come. Be in us in a way that kicks us out into action in a way that fits our design from you. For some of us, it's a passion for children who cannot read. For some of us, it's those folks who are broken with chemical imbalances in their minds, in their brains, that such that they can't see straight. Help us make your love real. We seek to be your hands and feet. Inspire us right now to do something this week. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Now, if you can't do tile work and you can make cookies, there are fire departments and nursing stations and police departments that all could use just a little word of encouragement. And all you have to say is, my preacher's making me do this because he believes God is love. Or you can say, I believe God loves you. That's all you have to say. And I'm telling you, I still have that thing on. We can change the world just the way Jesus calls us to. This morning we have the new members in this service, right? Fabulous.